Thank you to Wyatt, and again, thank all of you for joining us together in those beautiful songs of faith to remind every one of us that someday there is coming that time when we'll stand before God and we'll answer for how we have lived here. Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. But there are some great truths that we all hold dear this morning, and that is to know that our Savior and our Lord is in control of all things. And how grateful and thankful we are to know that our God is very much alive. The biggest loser. Many watch Patrick and others endeavoring to come or to become the biggest loser. The Biggest Loser has been perhaps one of the most popular shows on television. And those who participate come in all sizes. They do. And in reality, you may never see The Biggest Loser on NBC primetime. Not really. For The Biggest Loser is the one who loses his soul and who goes into an eternity without God. And Christ addressed that issue in the book of Mark, the 8th chapter and verse 36. When he said, "What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" I like the writings of King Solomon. I especially appreciate what Solomon writes in the book of Ecclesiastes. In the 3rd chapter of that book, beginning in verse 1, the Bible offers these words of encouragement and reminders to us. He says, "To everything there is a season, a time and a purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which has been planted. There's a time to kill and a time to heal. There is a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together and a time to embrace. And then there is a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silent, all right, and a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace." Listen especially to the words of Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 6, where Solomon says, "A time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away." There are times when you and I need to lose. There are some things that you and I need to lose, all right. For in the book of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, the Bible says that we are to lay aside all the sin and the weight that doth beset us and run the race that is set before us. But how do you become the biggest loser? Let me share with you this morning 4 things that I really believe will help you become the biggest loser in life. But you know what? I'm not interested in being a loser. I saw a man one time with a big belt buckle on him, and he had the words, "Born loser." You know what? You and I were never born losers. We became losers because you and I sold out to sin. And we gave in to the ways of the world. But let me tell you this morning how you can become the biggest loser. First of all, you can love only yourself. Do you realize today that there are many people that think only of themselves? They love themselves. They have endeared themselves to themselves. And the only one that they ever think about in life is self. And that's why the Bible says we're to get rid of all of that selfishness. And in the book of Luke 10 and verse 27, Jesus answering said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, with all of thy strength and with all of thy mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." You see, there was a young man that came to Christ and wanting to know what to do to get into heaven. And so he thought he had all the answers, but he didn't have it all together. And so Christ begins to lay down that plan, that blueprint for him, if you will. And he said that the way that you get into heaven is loving God. But notice what he says. He says to love your neighbor as yourself. God doesn't say that you ought to hate yourself, and he certainly doesn't say that it is inappropriate for you to love yourself. But in Luke 14 and verse 26, Jesus said, "If you will come to me, but you will not leave your family, you cannot be my follower. You must love me more than your father, more than your mother, more than your wife, your children, your brothers, your sisters." And he says, even more than your own life. Do you know that there are many people that will miss heaven? They will, simply because they're more concerned about pleasing self than they are about honoring and loving God. You hear and you see all the signs that say, "Love yourself." There are many of them around the world today. Everywhere you look, psychologists are telling us to love yourself. It's almost counter to what Christ had to say, but are they right? If you want to be the biggest loser in the world, then think of yourself only. Think of yourself only. Some people are madly in love with themselves. And you know what? Many people learn to love themselves at an early age. They do. Now that looks sweet. But if you saw me up there kissing the mirror, that wouldn't be sweet. But they learn it at an early age. We become demanding, even as children. There are two golden rules in life that you and I need to learn. One of them is that the wife is always right. Number two, if you think the wife is wrong, slap yourself and read rule one again. Some women are so in love with themselves that they think that they're always right. I heard about a man one time who married what he called Ms. Right. He just didn't know that her first name was Always. One woman said, "If you were my husband, I'd poison you a coffee." He said, "If you were my wife, I'd drink it." But not only do women admire themselves, men often admire themselves. Have you noticed that? Sometimes they admire themselves so much, they are in love with self. They are. They wrap their arms around themselves in their own mind, and they begin to think about how wonderful and how blessed the world is because they are living. And some men feel that they could never, ever do wrong. And that they are always right. So which is it? Is it right or wrong to love yourself? Are you unsure about it? Let me read again the book of Mark chapter 12, verse 30 and 31. "And thou shalt love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. And this is the first commandment," Jesus said. And he said, "The second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, and there is none other commandment greater than these." He is not saying it's wrong to love yourself. He is saying you ought to love yourself, but not to love yourself only. And if you want to be the biggest loser in this world, you think only of yourself. Love yourself. Because that is radical love. It is. And it is wrong. Well, let's move along to number two. If you want to be the biggest loser in the world, lift up yourself. In the 14th chapter of the book of Luke, in verse 11, our Lord Jesus said, "For whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself," listen to what he says, "shall be exalted." Christ said, listen, if you're going to lift anyone up, lift Jesus up. He said, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. The Bible says that God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. We need to humble ourselves. Sometimes we just have too much self-confidence. We do. And there are a lot of people in this world who have self-confidence. In Romans 12, the Bible says again that we're not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. He's not saying it's wrong for you to think highly of yourself. But he says, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. You've heard me say it before. It's kind of like the man who goes to the mirror in the morning and sings, "How great thou art," to himself. He does. Some people are narcissistic. They are. And that, my friend, is a personality disorder. Some say, "I love me, myself, and I." You ever seen people carrying around the sign that says, "I'm humble"? You ever seen something like that? I've seen that before. Now, I don't know what they're really trying to portray, but that is not the epitome of humility. But some people carry around the sign. That's not humility. That's only seeking attention. For in Luke, the 14th chapter again, in verse 11, Jesus said, "Whosoever exalteth himself is abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Listen to James, the 4th chapter and verse 10. "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord God, and he will lift you up." Real humility is something that is seen. It is not something that has to be declared by a lot of folks. But for some reason or another, sometimes people think that they have to put humility on parade. Now, that's not humility at all. Humility says, "I will go about serving God without having to have recognition. My name doesn't have to be up in lights. I am happy to serve and honor my Lord Jesus Christ." A lot of people will do a lot of things in this world if you put their name on a plaque and put it on a wall somewhere, or if you put their name up in lights. Someone has well and appropriately said there would be more done in the church of our Lord Jesus Christ today if we didn't really care who got the credit. And it is true. We're not here about people respecting us. We are not here about people offering us accolades. But we are here to offer accolades unto our God. In Philippians 2 in verse 3, the Bible says, "Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than themselves." Paul writes to Timothy and he says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15. If you want to be the biggest loser in this world, lift up yourself. For you'll be successful. But then thirdly, you want to be a big loser? You want to be the biggest loser in the world? Lay up for yourself. In Matthew 6 and verse 19, Jesus also offered these words to those who would be guilty of such. "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon this earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up," he says, "for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal." You want to start laying up treasures, start sending them on to Almighty God. That's where you're going to live. That's what he says. But if you want to be the biggest loser, a real loser, then first of all, lay up treasures for your own pleasure. And there are many that do that. Many are like that rich man of Luke chapter 12. When he says, I will tear down my barns and I'll build bigger barns and I can bestow all of my goods so I can say to my soul, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And God says to him that he never said to anyone else in all of the Bible, but he says to this man, thou art a fool, and tonight thy soul will be required of thee. Then he adds a kicker and he says, and then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? You want to be a real loser? Lay up treasures for your own prosperity. Instead of laying up to God and for God as you've been prospered, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And then lay up treasures for your own provision later. You know, quite commonly people ask me the question, is it wrong for you to put back money for old age? I suggest you do that. Very few children take care of their parents in their old age. Did I hear an amen to that? Now, let me tell you something. It is not wrong. It's not inappropriate. It is not sinful for you to put back money to take care of yourself in your old age. Most of the time, people will not admit it when they get there. But it is not wrong to do that. The Bible says that we're to consider the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways. She makes provision for herself. God says that we are to make provision. The Bible says the Father lays up for the Son, not the Son for the Father. But when you lay up for yourselves only, you got a real serious problem. Proverbs 13, verse 22. Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. Matthew 6. But then down in verse 19 of Matthew 6, again he says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where is your treasure this morning? Better yet, where is your heart this morning? That young man that came to Jesus is a very interesting character. You know, there are a lot of people that come to me sometimes wanting to know about how to get into heaven and what does the Bible actually teach, and you teach them the way to heaven according to the blueprint of God's Word. You take His GPS and guide them through a study of the Word of God, and they too sometimes just walk away and they refuse to accept Christ. That's what happened in this story. And in this story with this young man in Mark's account, he says something Matthew doesn't. In the book of Mark 10 and verse 21, the Bible says of this young man, it came to Jesus with an inquisition about how to get into heaven and what is it really going to be like and how do I get there. The Bible said, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. He loved him. And he said unto them, when he began to extol all of his virtues and talk about what all he had done and how he had served God fashionably, Jesus beheld him and loved him and said to him, one thing thou lackest. He says, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and take up the cross and follow me. That wasn't what the young man wanted to hear. I can tell you it wasn't. And I'm going to tell you something else. That's not the message that the world is wanting to hear today. And the message of salvation for a man to repent of his sin and confess Christ and to be baptized for his transgressions and to reach the atoning blood of the Savior in the book of Romans chapter 6 is not the message that the world is itching to hear. For the Bible says, just as they turn away today their ears from the hearing of the truth and are more concerned about hearing fables, the Bible says this young man went away sorrowful when he heard what Christ said because he had great riches. I've had people tell me, well, I'll become a Christian if it doesn't cost me anything. If it doesn't cost my time, if it doesn't cost my energy, if it doesn't cost my effort, if it doesn't cost my talent, if it doesn't cost my money, I'm willing to serve you, God. In what area would you be willing to serve? What do you have left? If you won't give your time and your energy and your money and your talent to serve God. This young man went away sorrowful. And the biggest loser is the man who lays up treasure upon this earth at the expense of his soul. You see, we're challenged to put God first. In the book of Matthew 6 and verse 33, we're to seek the kingdom of God first, he says. And we're to bring forth the first fruits of righteousness. We are. Seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness. Not just the kingdom, but his righteousness. You see, God gave you a gift. He gave me a gift today, believe it or not. He gave you the gift of 86,400 seconds in this day. You have already lived a number of them. Have you thanked God for them? We ought to say, thank you, God, for blessing me much, much more than I deserve. And don't we take each day for granted? We just feel assured that there will be a tomorrow. But there isn't always a tomorrow. There was a young man on a job this week, worked for a man in our congregation, fell over with a heart attack at the age of 42. I'm quite sure that our friend Billy Nash didn't know that yesterday would be his last day upon this earth. Death is real. Book of Hebrews 9, verse 27, the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after death the judgment. We don't know when that appointment comes, but it's coming. For as in Adam all die, so shall all in Christ be made alive. Some never think of their responsibility to God in terms of money. They don't. We play games with God, actually. People do. They never really think in terms of how they can bless God with what he has given unto them. For the book of 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 27 says, so let each one of us give not grudgingly nor of necessity, but as he purposes in his heart. For God loves a cheerful giver. We need to remember, folks, you can't take it with you. You can't. It won't follow behind. I've told you many times, I've never seen a hearse pulling a wagon load of money. I've never seen a Brinks truck following a hearse to the graveside. Doesn't happen. But then last of all, you want to be the biggest loser in life, then live for yourself. Lift yourself up. Love yourself at the expense of others. Lay up for yourselves treasures on earth for you and you only. And then live for self. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people that go through this life living for themselves only. Life is all about them. No one else. And in Matthew, the 20th chapter, beginning at verse 27, Jesus says, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Now, isn't that counter to the way the world thinks today? Jesus said, if someone really wants to be esteemed in this world, let him get out and start serving God and serving other people. That's not the message that the world wants to hear. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life as a ransom for many. I'm going to tell you something. There are some jobs in the church that brethren will not undertake. Don't give me a meaningless job. I'm going to tell you something. God didn't intend for it to be a job. He intended for it to be a ministry. And there's a difference between a job and a ministry. A ministry is something you do willingly. A ministry is something you do because you love God. A job is something that you take on. You don't want to take it on, but you took it on to keep people from talking about you. If you want to be the biggest loser, just live for no one but yourself. You'll be a loser. Selfishness, I've come to believe, is a fantastic way to be miserable in life. Some say, well, you only live once. But you know what? Sounds good. Just not true. It's a lie. For Jesus said that we will live beyond our earthly life and our death here upon this earth. For John, in the book of John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29, Christ said, all that are in their graves will come forth. They that have done good to the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Where are you, my friend, this morning? When you come out of that coffin and you ascend into the presence of God, where will you be? Will it be a resurrection to life, or will it be a resurrection to damnation? Live only for yourself, and it will be the latter. Philippians 2 and verse 4 says, look not every man to his own things, but every man also on the things of others. If you want to be a real loser, do you really want to be a real loser? Achieve only your goals. No one else's. Acquire only your things. And thirdly, advance only your cause. Your cause. You see, Jesus is the only way to real life. It is true. He is the only way. We need to allow Jesus to take us through the journey of life, or you'll be the biggest loser. You will. You need to let him take the wheel, as that song says. Many are not ready for Jesus to be the pilot. You don't believe that? Look at those bumper stickers on the back of the car. It says, Jesus is my co-pilot. You know what? You need to swap seats. Let Jesus be the pilot and you be the co-pilot. There are a number of things that you ought to remember about your Father in heaven. It's something that I'll bring to my mind many, many times. At my lowest, God is my hope. And at my weakness, God is my strength. And at my saddest, God is my comforter. I've come to understand that God uses ordinary people. The Holy Spirit desires to use us as vehicles through which the goodness of God will flow. You know what? We should never, ever apologize for having high standards. For following God's will, instead of lifting us up, we lift Him up and we live for Him. Because people who really want to be in your life will rise to meet your standards, or you don't need them as a friend. And when we live the righteous life, we can say to Satan, hey, Satan, we have read the back of the book, and you lose. We need to make Satan the biggest loser. Let me ask you a question. Who's winning out in your life? Who's winning in your life? You want to be a real loser? Focus on yourself. You You want to be a winner, focus on God first, others next, and self last. The question this morning is, are you ready and willing to lose yourself in the cause of Jesus Christ our Lord? By obeying His gospel, by being baptized in water for the remission of your sins, thereby becoming a child of God. And I'm going to tell you something, and I'll say it assuredly, and I'll say it till I draw my last breath. There is no other way to become a Christian than for one to be immersed in water baptism without question for the remission of his sin. You don't get there by believing in Jesus. You don't get there by doing great things in this life. You don't get there because you're rich. You don't get there because you're poor. You don't get there because you're prominent. You don't get there because you have no prestige. But you get there through Jesus in obedience to His command. Don't become the biggest loser. There is no greater loss than the loss of your soul. For Jesus in Matthew 25 and verse 46 said, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." The biggest loser. The biggest loser. Unfortunately, there are many of them in today's world. Few winners, because there are so few who are ready to take the step to follow Christ. I hope this morning that you are. And if you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you're willing with a penitent heart to yield your body to be buried with Christ in baptism, then you become the winner. And you win with Jesus by being faithful unto Him. For someday, as one who has committed his life to Jesus and has lived honorably before God, we'll hear Him say, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit," not claim it because you work for it, but He says, "Inherit the kingdom of God, which has been prepared for you for the very foundation of the world." That's an inheritance I'm looking forward to, folks. I hope you are, while we stand and while we sing.